I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today, we're going to talk about a subject that's long fascinated me, and that is the origin of writing and how the earliest known writings are all connected up with religion. We're going to talk about the earliest known writing, about the earliest known Bible fragments, and a bit more about the Dead Sea Scrolls and some other early fragments of the Bible that bring to light some fascinating information, especially for Latter-day Saints, but also for others. The oldest known writings in the world are the Egyptian temple documents. They date to almost 4,000 BC. Some might say, oh, we have writings that are earlier than that. Cave drawings on the walls in France and in other places. But that's different. A picture is not quite the same as a writing. And we know that because sentences and ideas are different from just a picture. The ancient Egyptians said that their language, the idea of making marks that coincided with language, that this was invented by God. They called their writings hieroglyphics, which come to us from the Greek kyrios, meaning gods, and glyph, meaning inscriptions. Literally, hieroglyphics means God's writings or God's inscriptions in Egyptian. That to me is fascinating. Now, if you're a Latter-day Saint, you may have read Moses chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, which has the same idea, the idea that language came from God. Moses chapter 6, verses 5 and 6 says, quote, "And a book of remembrance was kept in the which was recorded in the language of Adam. For it was given unto as many as called upon God to write by the spirit of inspiration. And by them their children were taught to read and write, having a language which was pure and undefiled," close quote. This whole idea of language coming from God, associated with religion, is also from Latter-day Saint scripture as well as Egyptian scripture. That's fascinating to me. Notice Moses 6, verses 5 and 6 says that God inspired people to write. He gave them language. It was pure and undefiled. And they gave it to their children and taught them with it. What are some of the oldest Bible scripts? We're going to talk about a few of those that have some real relevance as far as time permits. Before we do that, I'm going to step back for a minute and mention that, and this may be self-evident to many, but to others, this is an important addition. We don't have any of the original Bible writings. In other words, nobody has the original of Genesis. Nobody has the original of Exodus or any other book. We don't have the original manuscript that Isaiah himself wrote. We just have copies of copies of copies of copies. Now, this may sound like a defect in the Bible, but it's not. This is the way all ancient writings are. The older they get, the more that is true. For example, I was reading a website recently It was talking about Julius Caesar's writing that's entitled On the Gallic War. It was written in the first century BC. It chronicled the Roman conquest of Gaul. And as I mentioned, this conquest happened in the first century BC, and Julius Caesar wrote his work shortly after it. And yet the earliest known copy that we have dates to the 8th century AD. So that's 900 years approximately after Julius Caesar wrote it. We don't have the original. We have a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, apparently. That's the way these kinds of things tend to happen. So when I mention manuscripts of the Old Testament, we don't have the originals. I'm talking about the earliest known copies that we have. First one I'm going to mention is the Nash Papyrus, which is a manuscript that was purchased in Egypt in 1902 from an antiquities dealer, a guy by the name of Walter Llewellyn Nash, hence the name Nash Papyrus. It was written in Hebrew. It dates to the 2nd century BC. It was, prior to the Dead Sea Scrolls, the oldest known biblical text. It contains the Ten Commandments from the book of Exodus. And it also contains, at the end of those, the Shema, which is the famous statement, quote, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, the Lord is one," close quote. I mean, there are various renditions of that, but the gist of it is, "Listen to me, Israel, there's one God, and I'm him." That's the gist of what it says. This is from Deuteronomy. Ancient Jewish sources tell us that it was common practice to read the Ten Commandments and then say the Shema at the end. Some scholars believe that this Nash Papyrus was owned and used by an ancient Egyptian Jew in his daily worship. Now, some might say, that sounds a bit odd, but it's really not. The ancient Jews and Egyptians have been connected in many different ways throughout history. Exodus is an example, of course, of a connection between Jews and Egyptians. We also have the Septuagint, the earliest fragments of the Bible that actually predated the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Nash Papyrus. They were written in Greek, hence the name Septuagint. These were written in Alexandria, Egypt, about 300 BC. We, of course, don't have the original there either, but they were written by Jews in Alexandria, Egypt, hence the Jewish-Egyptian tie again. They were written so that Jewish children, who by then had as their native language after being exiled into Alexandria, Egypt for some time, their native language was Greek at that point, and so Jewish parents wanted their children to be able to read the scriptures. They accomplished that by having a new translation of the Bible, the Septuagint. So there's another tie. We also know from Genesis that Joseph, sold into Egypt, was a high official in Egypt, even though he was Jewish. So the tie-in between Jews and Egyptians, very, very close over many millennia. The Dead Sea Scrolls is the next topic that I wanted to mention. And the Dead Sea Scrolls is a collection of over 900 manuscripts. They were discovered around the Dead Sea beginning in 1947, going on through 1956, so almost 10 years, and a few little fragments since then, found in 11 caves. They discuss, and their subject matter contains, biblical statements, about 300, about a third. Another 300 or so, about a third, deals with other, or contains other, religious writings that aren't in the Bible. And then there's a fascinating third that just has secular writings deeds, statements, all kinds of unusual, but just writings of every day that don't pertain to religion. When we come back, more about the Dead Sea Scrolls and some of their unusual content and message. Today, we're talking about the genesis of the written word, about the earliest known writings, all of which are religious in nature. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. If you have a question or comment about this or any other program, send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com. martinstanner@gmail.com, and I will be happy to respond. When we took our break, we were talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls collection, about 900 manuscripts discovered up a wash in 11 caves just off the northwest shore of the Dead Sea. Qumran community was the group of early Jews that assembled all of these. They date from about 300 BC to approximately 68 AD, the time the Romans came in, and many of the Jews fled. Those who stayed were occupied by Rome for quite some time. If you see something that's a Dead Sea Scroll manuscript, it will have a number 4 or 10 or 1, any number, 1 through 11. That's which cave it came from. Q means Qumran, so you know it's a Dead Sea Scroll cave written by the Qumran community. And then it will have a fragment number or a text number. So, for instance, we've been talking about the oldest known Qumran community, the oldest known Dead Sea Scroll. It's a portion of Exodus, and it's 4Q17. K4, Qumran community, text number 17. And it's the earliest known manuscript until a fascinating find that happened in 1979 and 80. And that is the silver Kitif Hinnom scrolls. Now, the Dead Sea Scrolls are not the oldest known fragments of the Old Testament. The silver Kitif Hinnom scrolls have that claim to fame. What are they? They date to the 7th century BC. Now, that is fascinating because that is hundreds of years prior to the Dead Sea Scrolls. These are two silver amulets. They're rolled up pieces of silver. They were found in excavations that were led by a guy named Gabriel Barclay in a series of burial caves at Kitif Hinnom. Now, Hinnom is a valley outside of Jerusalem. Jesus and several places in the New Testament, and occasionally in the Old Testament, we have the Valley of Hinnom. Same place. Kitif is a certain location, a burial ground there in the Valley of Hinnom. Now, Hinnom was kind of a garbage dump, which sounds a little harsh to say it that way because we don't like garbage dumps, but archaeologists love them because people throw things out and then they get to see what was part of everyday life when they're excavated hundreds or thousands of years later. The Kitif Hinnom scrolls were part of that. They weren't part of a garbage dump, but they were, as part of that, excavations found in the burial caves in that same general area. And they contain a prayer or a benediction. We find it in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, which I absolutely love. It can bring tears to my eyes when I read it. It says, quote, "May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh cause his face to shine upon you and grant you peace," close quote. This Ketef Hinnom set of two scrolls has the oldest, what I just read you, is the oldest portion of Scripture ever found of the Bible, way before the Dead Sea Scrolls. And there are a couple of fascinating things about them. They're written in earlier, depending on who describes them, in Proto-Hebrew, and yet they're easy to write. They have this biblical idea that would be at home today. The reason I find that so fascinating is because people today have the same concerns that people had 2,800 years ago, and even earlier. What were those concerns? About daily life, about safety, about happiness. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and grant you peace. We all want peace then and now. Now, there are other ancient texts which allude to the Bible. We have a number of those, and yet they're not as old as these. That's what makes Ketef Hinnom so fascinating to me. Some other scrolls that have great significance. Among those would be 4Q285 and 11Q14T. Those scrolls, as you can tell, now that you know what the Q stands for, are Dead Sea Scrolls, one from Cave 4, one from Cave 11. These are known as the Pierce Messiah text. They date to before the time of Christ. But according to a translation by professors Eisenman and Wise, they talk about a pierced Messiah who would be from the branch of David. He would be judged, then put to death by being pierced and wounded. But ultimately, he would be triumphant. That's a beautiful, fascinating thing. Now, in fairness, I should mention that there are some who translate this a little bit different and think the Messiah is piercing. So it doesn't have to do with crucifixion of Jesus or prophecy of that. It has to do with the Messiah who goes out conquering and piercing the bad guys. So what are some of the other ways that the Latter-day Saints would support Christianity? Pierced Messiah is one. What other ways? Latter-day Saints would find this fascinating. According to a fascinating guy named George Molin, in his book, the guy's a German scholar, he wrote a book in 1954 that said that the Dead Sea Scrolls community, the Qumran community, called themselves the Latter-day Saints, meaning they lived in the last days before the coming Messiah. But that phrase, Latter-day Saints, could not be used as their name because, unfortunately, some current denomination already used that name. So they're called the Qumran community instead of Latter-day Saints. That, to me, is fascinating. We also, in view of the fact that Latter-day Saints believe in gold plates as the basis for the translation of the Book of Mormon, the Dead Sea Scrolls had plates written on, or had metal plates. There's a copper scroll. It was a fascinating description of the location of treasure, which ultimately was never found. But we also have an example of ancient writing on metal plates as part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. this fits right in with Latter-day Saint ideas and beliefs. We also have a description in the Temple Scroll, 11Q19 TA, which describes a temple to be built in the future in Jerusalem. What a fascinating thing. Latter-day Saints also believe that that will happen. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.